Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. It's great to have you with us on this Wednesday, November 1st. I love the beginning of a month. It makes me feel like everything's all fresh and clean and like there's a clean slate to live out. I guess it's sort of a miniature version of the new year. We are listening to a fantastic series by Derek Prince on Israel. And today I'm very excited about the material because he's going to be talking about how to pray for Israel. You know, I get tired of praying, Lord bless Israel, Lord protect Israel. I want to know details. I want to know how to specifically pray for Israel. And if you're like me, you'll love this teaching. Listen, if you've missed any of this series, or you think you might because of your future plans, log on to DerekPrince.org. You can listen to this whole series and learn more about what Derek Prince Ministries is doing. Well, listen, stay with me now as we hear this extremely important teaching, especially given the headlines in our world, about how to pray for Israel.
Now, one final fact about this situation, which is very, very critical, is what is the real issue behind it all? I mean, it is absurd. Approximately half the resolutions of the United Nations have been made about Israel. I mean, you couldn't imagine anything less appropriate or more ridiculous. There must be a reason. Why is it that every time you open your newspaper, return and return, it's something about this little strip of territory that contains about 6 million people? A drop in the bucket of the world. What is the reason for the pressure, for the opposition, for the conflict? I'll try to tell you. Let me turn to Matthew, chapter 23. The last words of the chapter. Very sad words. Verses 37, 38, and 39. Now this is the farewell of Jesus to Jerusalem. It's a very sad and tragic farewell. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And it's plural. There is a certain collective will of the Jewish people. They, as a people, were not willing. And then he says, see, your house is left to you desolate. And when he says your house, it means the temple, because they called it Habayit, the house. And true enough, within a generation, it was totally desolated. And then he goes on, the last verse. For I say to you, you shall see me no more, till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now this is plural, you plural. It's not Jerusalem, it's you Jewish people. Will not see me again until you Jewish people say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's the standard Hebrew greeting, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So he says, I'm not going to come back until you are ready to welcome me. So he's got to have the heart of the Jewish people prepared before he will return. And if you turn to Zechariah, the 12th chapter, you find the final filling in of this picture. Zechariah 12, verse 10. Zechariah's chapters 12, 13, and 14 all deal with the situation in the land of Israel at the close of this age. And the Lord is speaking, and he says, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. Notice that you cannot supplicate unless God gives you the spirit of grace. When he gives you the spirit of grace, you can respond with supplications. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Now, it is the Lord who is speaking, and he says, they will look on me whom they, the Jewish people, have pierced. It is the most astonishing thing that they can read that without knowing what it means. Because it's the clearest statement anywhere in Scripture that they will crucify the Lord. They will look on me whom they have pierced. And then it says, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieves for him as one grieves for a firstborn. So there's going to come a revelation of Jesus to his own people, the Jewish people, by the Holy Spirit, as to who he really is. And then there will be a mourning as has never been experienced in the history of Israel. For the first time, they'll realize, we crucified our Messiah. We rejected our God. Then it goes on. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning at Hadad Rimon in the plain of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family by itself, the family of the house of David, and so on. I want you to see, if you put together Matthew and Zechariah, before the Lord returns, certain things have to be established. The Jewish people have to be reestablished in Jerusalem and in the land, because the Lord Jesus is not coming back until they are. Then there has to be a supernatural revelation of Jesus, which will turn the hearts of the people to himself. Now, what do you think Satan, the god of this age, fears most? What is the one thing that he's most upset about? I would say the return of Jesus. Because until Jesus comes back, he may lose a lot of battles, but he'll never lose the war. He may lose a lot of souls, but he'd still be the god of this age. That will not change until Jesus returns in person. So what does the devil fear most? The return of Jesus. What does he oppose the most? The setting up of the situation which will prepare the way for Jesus to return. The Jewish people have to be in Jerusalem as their city, and they have to be occupying the land before Jesus will come back. See? So this is what's behind all the uproar and all the fuss. Satan is doing everything he can to prevent the setting up of the scenario which will bring back the Lord.
What fantastic material this is on Israel and the coming of the Lord. Powerful stuff. Listen, I want to take this moment to tell you about Derek Prince Ministries' amazing magazine called Proclamation. And we've got a brand new edition out now. In this magazine, you're going to find out information about Derek Prince and teaching and some of the great things that are happening with DPM partners around the world. You're going to be amazed that a ministry that began under the powerful ministry of an individual continues as powerfully as ever in the world. And getting this magazine called Proclamation is one of the great ways that you can stay up with what we're doing. Listen, it's easy to get and it's free. Just log on to the website and you can request it and you'll receive this copy of Proclamation magazine. There's more ahead as Derek continues this amazing teaching on Israel as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
The time is almost here when all will witness the startling, cataclysmic conclusion of the world. What will trigger the final countdown to the return of Jesus Christ? In his timely book, Promised Land, Derek Prince reveals God's purpose for the nation of Israel and its connection with end-time events. In it, you'll discover why entire nations will be judged according to their response to God's chosen people, Israel. Call toll-free 800-448-3261 to order your own copy of Promised Land for only $14.95. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Learn the truth about that point of blessing where your destiny and Israel's future intersect. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Now listen, I want you to get something to write with and a pad or maybe your prayer journal, because Derek is about to tell us about how to pray for Israel. You know, we know according to the Word of God that we're supposed to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We know we ought to be interceding, but if you're like me, you often don't know what to pray. Even if you're a news hound and you listen to CNN and Fox and MSNBC, sometimes you just don't know the biblical keys of how to pray for for Israel. Well, that's what Derek's going to teach us. You'll have a guide for interceding for Israel. And what a difference that would make if everybody listening to this show nationwide would begin to pray for Israel in a more specific, biblical, and effective way. Let's listen now as Derek talks to us about the importance of Israel and how to pray for Israel.
I'm trusting that you and others who eventually receive this message will be prompted by the Holy Spirit to pray for Israel. So I'm going to give you 11 suggestions to make prayer for Israel effective in your life and ministry. I'm not suggesting that you could go through all of these in one prayer session. They are different aspects of approaching prayer for Israel, and they are all based on personal experience and observation. So here we are. Suggestion number one, stay within the parameter of God's Word. That's one reason why I took so much time to go through what I believe is revealed in Scripture concerning God's purposes for Israel. Because to pray outside the purposes of God, or contrary to the purposes of God, is to waste your time. I gave some examples of that, I won't go back, but let me give you just one pattern prayer. In Matthew 24 and verse 20, Jesus, speaking about a crisis that has not yet developed, but will develop in Israel, he says to those who are followers of his, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Now that sets very clear parameters to how they are to pray. He doesn't say, pray that you won't have to flee, because you will have to flee. That is fixed in the purposes of God. The only limitations you have that you can pray that you may not have to flee in the winter, because it would be a great hardship, especially for pregnant women, and pray that you may not have to flee on the Sabbath, because in the present state of Israel, fleeing on the Sabbath would be very difficult and would make you very conspicuous. So I'm suggesting that's a pattern of how to pray within the parameters of the Word of God. Don't ask God to do something he said he will not do, because you won't change God. You need to have an understanding of God's prophetic purposes for Israel in order to pray effectively for them. There is a good deal of praying for the Jews which is sentimental. It's soulish, and I don't think it accomplishes much. One of the features of American culture today is the slogan, the customer is always right. And a lot of people approach God as customers. They have their wants and their requests. They want a certain style and a certain color and a certain price. But it's not true that the customer is always right. The truth of the matter is, only one person is always right, and that's God. And if you want to pray intelligently and effectively, you've got to start from the fact that God is right, and what he says is what's going to happen. Now, in the New Testament, the Virgin Mary received the astonishing news that she was to be the mother of the Messiah. And when the angel gave her that message, she didn't understand it. She didn't know how it could happen. But she said, be it unto me according to thy word. And I believe the greatest miracle ever experienced by a human being, other than Jesus, was the birth of the Messiah through a virgin. And it came to pass when she said, be it unto me according to thy word. You cannot pray anything higher than the revealed word of God. And one of the great functions of intercessors is to pray into being what God has already said will happen. That's why God has set intercessors on the walls of Jerusalem. I said, I think in my first meeting, at any rate one, the Hebrew word for an intercessor in Isaiah 62 is mazkir, which means someone who reminds someone else. So according to the Hebrew understanding, the function of a secretary is to remind her boss of what's on his calendar. And as an intercessor, a mazkir, masculine, maskira, feminine, your job is to remind God of what's on his prophetic calendar and say to him, do as you have said. There's more to intercession than that, but that is the base of intercession. Therefore, an intercessor has to be familiar with the Word of God, has to be clear about God's purposes and their outworking. So that's the first principle I want to lay down. When you pray for Israel, stay within the parameters of the Word of God. Second is based on Psalm 100, verse 4, which says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. This is a great fundamental principle, which unfortunately many Christians are not familiar with. The only way of direct access into God is through the gates of thanksgiving and the courts of praise. And if you do not come with thanksgiving and praise, you can lift up your voice like the 10 lepers who cried to Jesus from a distance, and he will hear you. But you don't have direct access to God. There is no way into his presence except through the gates of thanksgiving and the courts of praise. And this applies to praying for Israel. The most effective way to pray for Israel is to begin by thanksgiving. And God has given us a pattern. In the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 7, God says this, sing with gladness for Jacob and shout among the chief of the nations. How many times have you read the word shout in the Psalms? Have you ever shouted?
Hallelujah!
That's
Hallelujah!
Right. That wasn't much of a shout, but at least it was a good shout. Now, I'll show you how it should be done. Hallelujah! Will you join me? Shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! That's more like it. I tell people I'm not a singer. I can't keep a tune, but I can shout. All right, here we are. Going back to Jeremiah 31, verse 7. Sing with gladness for Jacob and shout among the chief of the nations. Would you count the United States among the chief of the nations? All right, then you have an obligation to shout.
You know, when Derek talks about prayer, it demystifies it. It takes it out of sort of the spiritual la-la land and makes it practical. I love that. Listen, stay with us, because Derek's going to teach us more about how to pray for Israel as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
The passing of Derek Prince did not mean the end of Derek Prince Ministries. Instead, it marked a new beginning.
If I had only one message to leave to posterity, my family, my friends, whoever it might be, I would say it in three words. God is faithful.
And to succeed, we need your help. Through your gifts and offerings, you play a part in taking Derek's powerful and practical teaching to countless lives and hearts. Through the printed word, audio, video, and more, you keep the ministry of Derek Prince alive and active throughout the world. And of course, your partnership makes it possible to keep ministry, encouragement, and biblical insights coming to you and your family as well. For that, we are very grateful. To honor both the memory and the wishes of Derek Prince, will you stand with us as we continue the work he started so well and loved so much? Prayerfully consider taking an active part in carrying on the legacy of Derek Prince's life and ministry by making the most generous gift you can to Derek Prince Ministries. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit our secure website at derekprince.org. Please make the most generous gift you can and be assured your gifts will be used prayerfully and prudently to keep the teaching of Derek Prince coming to you and others. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us on the web at derekprince.org.
God is faithful.
Thank you for standing with us.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we're in a marvelous series on Israel in which Derek Prince is teaching us today about how to pray for Israel. Let's listen and be sure and take notes, because we're going to commit to a whole new season of intercession for Israel as a result of this marvelous teaching by Derek Prince.
All right. Sing with gladness for Jacob. Shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim. You know this little book of ours, Prayers and Proclamations? That's a way you can proclaim. Proclaiming is releasing the word of God into a situation. I've told people, and it's in this little book. When Moses stood before the Lord, and the Lord said, I want you to go back and redeem my people from Egypt. Moses said, I've got nothing to go with. What can I take? And the Lord said to Moses, what have you got in your hand? And Moses said, this is a little paraphrase, just a staff like every shepherd carries. He didn't think there was much to his staff. The Lord taught him a lesson. He said, throw it down on the ground. And it turned into a snake. And Moses ran from his own staff. He had no concept of the power that he held in his hand. Well, then the Lord said, pick it up by the tail. And I'm sure in Arizona you have some experience of snakes. Everybody knows you don't pick a snake up by the tail. But Moses did it, I'm sure, with trembling. And it became a staff in his hand again. And the Lord said to Moses, take your staff and go. This is a little paraphrase. That's all you'll need. And if you follow the story of the Exodus, Moses never needed any other instrument or weapon but his staff. Every miracle was released through the staff of Moses, including the opening of the Red Sea and the closing of it on the Egyptians. Now, I want to suggest to you, you may be like Moses. You have a staff in your hand and you don't know how powerful it is. And the staff in your hand is your Bible. And you release its power by proclamation. Boldly and in faith, you proclaim the word of God into any given situation. And you release God's supernatural power into that situation. And so the Lord says in this verse, proclaim, release my promises into the destiny of Israel. And then he says, give praise. So there's a time for giving praise. I believe probably at the end of this message, we will take some time to praise the Lord. I hope so. And say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Notice there are five things the Lord said to do. Sing, shout, proclaim, praise, and pray. Because to say, O Lord, save your people is prayer. So those are five responses we can make to the promises of God. Sing, shout, proclaim, praise, and pray. But notice pray comes at the end. What makes prayer effective is going through the previous stages. So enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and specifically give him thanks and praise for what he is doing and for what he's going to do for Israel.
Let's commit ourselves to a season of prayer and intercession for Israel. We know that God is passionate for the Jews. How delighted he would be if we would begin to delight in his passion for his people, the Jews. Now listen, if you've missed any of this teaching or you want to review it, because some of it really is new for a lot of us. Some of us were raised in completely different religious traditions or completely different philosophies when it came to the Jews or when it comes to the Jews, then you want to be sure and log on to the website at derekprince.org. You'll find all of these teachings, other notes, other materials, and a great deal about Derek Prince Ministries and what marvelous things they are doing in the world. Listen, it's wonderful having you with us. You want to join us again tomorrow as we continue in this fantastic teaching on how to pray for Israel and how important Israel is to us. So for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To order your copy of Derek's book, Promised Land, for only $11.95, call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. It's because of the faithful financial support of friends like you that Derek Prince Legacy Radio is on the air. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And you can give securely online at derekprince.org. Thank you for standing with us. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information on anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org.